I have literally been training my understanding of myself and other human beings and how to bridge that gap through effective communication for over 30 years at this point. And anybody who's watching or listening to this podcast, the more technical expertise you have, the more you will benefit from understanding and learning more about human psychology and communication.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. I am so excited about the conversation we're going to have today with an old friend of mine, which we were going back on memory lane before we hit record, had a chance to know each other for over 6 years. And the man has built the largest business coaching and training providing companies out in Australia with over 500,000 members. That's right, 550,000 people that are being supported by his organization. He's the founder of The Entourage. If you are from Australia, you probably have that as a household name. If you're coming from anywhere else around the world, you're going to learn all of the magic that happens within this organization, because Jack DeLosa, my guest today, has not only had success in this industry, but has worked in various industry and replicated this success, has done some investments of such that has become a Silicon Valley unicorn. He's been listed on AFR's Young Rich list 5 times and has written bestseller books, Unprofessional, Unwritten, has been mentoring over 250,000 entrepreneurs, featured regularly on Forbes, GQ, and hosted TV series Entrepreneurs on Foxtel, which is just the tip of the iceberg of all the wonderful accomplishments this man has made. And the conversation we'll have today are going to be a lot around what is happening in the business landscape today. What are those skills that were able to be used across industry that made him be a, call it, man with a magic wand to create success for himself and others, and how we can bring some of these within our own lives as well. Jack, welcome to the show.
Jay, so good to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
It was a good vibe from the first chat. I mean, we haven't connected in a long time, and I was so excited to see all the stuff you've been doing, because you were already doing so much when we first met, and it seems like that has continuously perpetuated. And I'm going to jump right into it with the question that I asked in the intro, which is your success in all these different industries. And like, I was reading the bio, I think you have like biotech, finance, you've touched real estate, aviation. It's very diverse. And so I'd be curious to know, what is that thing that you have or that you do or a skill that you've worked on that makes it that it's so transferable across these industries and brings success?
That's a very good question. I think that we overcomplicate business, right? The way I think about business is kind of founded upon a couple of fundamental axioms, if you like. The first one is that every business operates in a resource-constrained environment. And so when you're talking or thinking about strategy in any business of any size, what we're really talking about is, how do I allocate limited resources against unlimited options, right? And so I view every single decision in business as an investment decision. If I'm going to spend half an hour on a task, that's an investment. If I'm going to build out a team, that's an investment. If I'm saying to my team, we're going in this particular direction, that's an investment. And so what do we look for in any investment decisions is asymmetry, which is, how do I put in the least amount of input for the most amount of output? And so in any given business, the areas where you are going to find the biggest gains and the biggest kind of unlocks of the core constraints is in what I call the fundamentals or the basics, right? And so when I'm coming into a business, whether it's a business that we're buying, whether it's a business that I'm coming in to grow, whether it's a business that we're trying to help sell, whatever the immediate objectives are, I always start with one thing, which is customer journey. In every single business, doesn't matter whether you are a growth agency like we are here in Australia, or Mindvalley, or Amex, every single business in the world has a finite customer journey. And for most small to medium-sized businesses, it's probably between 6 to 12 steps. Like, you know, you generate content, you push content into landing pages into maybe a lead magnet into a phone call into some sort of a service, delivering that service over a period of time, retaining or continuing that client, or moving them on to be an advocate of the business post your engagement. But in most businesses, there's like 6 to 12 steps. And so to come back to your question. How I've managed to be predictably successful across different industries is I always make it about the fundamentals. I always make it about the basics. And there is only one God in business, and that is customer. And so if you can look at what is your customer journey and how do I optimize each stages of those customer journey and what's going to be most important, most impactful, and prioritize those stages, then that is how we build successful businesses. And I know that sounds probably like a really underwhelming answer because we're living in an age where everyone wants the shiny thing and the new thing and the fancy thing. And to be honest, Jason, that's where I'm sure you're the same. That's where I see so many business owners trip themselves up. That's what we try and train people out of. It's like great companies are great because they do the basics well at scale. And so how do we come back to common sense? How do we come back to the basics? How do we find those key initiatives that are going to give us that asymmetry to push the business forward in the most meaningful way?
You know, that's the refreshing, and I know it's not sexy, but it's the real, right?
It's the real.
It's so funny because one of the clients I was working with, you know, I came in and I noticed that they were basically vulnerable because the basics weren't down to people predatorily making the promises of the next shiny thing that would solve all of their financial problems in the business. Would be like, oh, but this new chatbot or AI, and then like, oh, take the money and, you know, make this problem go away.
100%.
I had the most boring time with the organization because it was like, let's clean the books. Let's look at the initial email sequence. And like, I was like, God damn.
Yeah, let's look at the messaging on the landing pages and let's look at the strength of the messaging through the sales process. And when a lead comes in, how quickly are we addressing them and contacting them? It's all the basic fundamentals that it would be awesome if we could just skirt around them and go to something fancy as a silver bullet. Unfortunately, that doesn't grow businesses.
Okay, so I'm sure... And you don't need to reveal specifics because this might be embarrassing, but I'd be curious about any of the companies you've worked with or maybe some company you invested in where you looked at that company journey and you were like, oh, like, is there like a typical loose wheel on the wagon when you look at a customer journey and like every time you see it, you're like, God, they don't even have that piece.
Dude, the most universal one that operates as the biggest constraint in the vast majority of businesses and has the most amount of asymmetry is focusing on sales.
My man.
Dude, so much so, you know, the Entourage, we're a business growth agency. So we do everything from, you know, we've got a digital marketing agency, we've got a sales agency, we do coaching. I just built and sold an accounting business. Prior to that, we built and sold a larger consulting business that, you know, consult into larger businesses. And more often than not, I'm honing my team in and clients in to look at marketing and sales because, you know, most of our clients have a good product. Most of our clients have a great product or service, actually. However, they're the world's best kept secret. And so we spoke before about that asymmetry piece, right? The reason why sales is so incredibly powerful for business owners to come into, to analyze and to improve, because if we can take your sales conversions from, let's say, 20% to 40%, then we're not spending any more money on marketing. We're not having any more conversations. We're not exerting any more work. And what might sound like an insignificant 20% increase in sales conversions, if all of our other metrics hold, which they should, you just doubled the revenue of the business. If you take the conversions from 20% to 40%. And all that's required often to do that, as you know better than anybody, is improving the quality of the communication, the quality of the questions, the quality of the offer, the quality of how we're presenting it, the quality of how we're engaging people on the front end. And you can have significant increases in sales conversions. And so the other thing with a lot of small to medium-sized businesses is that, you know, most of us carry a fixed cost base. And so when you can help somebody double or triple their sales conversions, you double their revenue, you often more than double their profit because their costs don't need to increase at the same rate that their new revenue does. There's not a kind of one-to-one relationship around it. And so sales is often the greatest constraint, constraining the next stage of growth. And it's often the most, what would you call it, like impactful unlock to unlock the next scale of revenue and profitability.
Well, you're speaking on Selling with Love podcast, so I'm definitely not going to object on any of that. But I'll say this. The majority of people who do listen to this show have this natural sales reluctance. And I think I've worked over, I think we're close to 500 episodes that we've done with various angles to tackle that psychology and to see like, hey, sales is not a demon. It's a great thing. It's the fundamental of every transaction we have between humans. It's been the key to unlocking all the abundance and amazingness we have today. I mean, that's my thesis. But what sometimes is not as spoken about on the show is understanding that, oh my God, like a 20% to 40% for some might be a mental possibility block. Like, can that really be done? And if you're going to be on this conversation and someone's listening to it and be like, I'm down. Okay, well, what would be some of the maybe faux pas that I could be doing in my current customer journey that would make it so that I'm just throwing money away?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a big, big question and a big answer. And so I usually start with the fundamental principle is what drives all human decision making. And, you know, people watching and listening to this podcast are probably familiar with left and right brain thinking, left brain thinking being logic and right brain thinking being emotion. So here at the Entourage, we call the left brain the red brain. Why do we call it the red brain? What do you do when you get to a red light? You stop. What color is the stop sign? It's red. And so when we have logical conversations and when our prospect is anchored in their red brain, it causes them to stop, pause, look for danger, and retreat, right? Now, whenever you have a conversation about your product, about your service, about the terms, about the timeline, about the contracts, about the paperwork, about any of the rational inclusions or the features, we're having red brain conversations, and a prospect anchored in their red brain will increase the rate at which they procrastinate. So they will wait longer, they will look for danger, and they will ultimately look to retreat. The problem with red brain is that it becomes our comfort zone, because as business owners or salespeople or marketers, what do we think about all day? Unfortunately, the answer isn't the customer. What we think about all day is our product or service. And so we come into any sales conversations talking about what we're comfortable talking about, which is the product or the service. On the other hand, you've got the right brain, which is known for emotion. And so we call this green brain. Why? Because when you get to a green light, what do? You floor it. Often you might drive through a green light, get to the other side and go, oh my God, was that light green? Because you weren't even conscious of the fact you weren't looking for danger. You just wanted to proceed. And so whenever you're able to help a prospect to be anchored in their green brain, in their right brain, they will make better, faster decisions. And how do you do that? You do that by understanding that within green brain, there are fundamentally two driving forces that drive all human decision-making. The first is the desire to move away from pain, and the second is the desire to move towards pleasure. And so we call these buying motivators. What are the buying motivators of your prospects? And so the away froms are, what are their challenges? What are their problems? What are their frustrations? What are their fears? What are their do not wants? And then the towards motivators, the pleasure is, if the away from motivator is my current undesired reality, the toward motivator is, what is my future desired reality? If the away from motivator is, what are my challenges and what are my problems? The toward motivator is, what are my goals and what are my wants? What are my dreams? What are my hopes? What are my do wants, right? And so when you can start to communicate absolutely everything about your product or service through that lens of from to, where are you leading me from? What pain are you helping me to avoid? Where are you leading me to? What pleasure are you helping me to attain? Then your product or service, you're no longer having a one-dimensional conversation about your product or service. You're only talking about your product or service in the context of where you're leading me from and where you're leading me to. So your product or service just becomes a conduit to solving the customer's problems and helping the customer achieve their goals. Now, that might sound like a pretty fundamental shift, and it is. But if I was to audit the websites and the sales conversations of a lot of people listening right now, what we would find is one-dimensional red brain conversations about their product or service, and it would be devoid of green brain. And so what we need to understand is people buy emotionally. and justify logically. And so the more we can integrate green brain communication around the red brain stuff, because you do need red brain stuff. People need to know the basics. They need the logistics, right? What am I buying? How much is it? When am I getting it, right? So it's not about red brain isn't the enemy. It's just that we're red braining ourselves out of sales because we're having one-dimensional conversations that are completely rational and the green brain isn't activated. If you could, like, we've had e-com businesses that we've taught that principle to, and, you know, we teach it over a day, but they go home that night. One brand I'm thinking of, a brand called Style Runner here in Australia, they sell like really cool athletica clothes online. And this is 8 years ago now. They went home and they optimized 500 landing pages. We taught them green brain sandwich, which is if you're trying to communicate a product in their instance, selling clothes online, you know, you've got like half a paragraph. So you've got like three sentences. And so in that instance, what we suggest people do is they start with a green brain sentence, something that speaks to the problem or something emotive or something cozy about this particular garment. Then give me the rational, then give me the green brain. They went home, they green brained 500 landing pages. Within a week, their revenue had increased 500%. And when I talk to you about red brain, green brain, honestly, most of my brain is thinking about service-based businesses, conversational-based sales processes. And so using an e-com example probably sounds a bit left of field, but it just goes to show that people are people are people. And to come back to your question, what is the one thing that we see prevents people from increasing sales conversions is they're having one-dimensional conversations about their product rather than having an emotional conversation about their prospect.
Damn. We're on a masterclass here, guys. Like, I love this. I've never heard it spoken in this fashion, the red brain and the green brain concept. I've never used that, but it's such a good anchor to remember it. And God, Jack, I forget that myself. Like, I'm Jason, selling with love guy. Like, I've fallen into that red brain trap. I know the results it brings. It sucks.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what happens when I go red brain on my, say, like I'm writing sales copy or I'm on a phone call and I'm talking with this red brain language, because it's almost like I'm so into it that to me it's obvious. So I'm just giving you the logistical details. And then I'm almost like, there's a part of me that's like, sometimes I lose hope in people to be able to make smart decisions because I assume that they know what I know with the assumptions that I have. And then I'm like, oh crap, I need to stop that. I need to go back to understanding like human, emotional, I need to speak green. And that needs kind of a constant effort to bring back to, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But man, what you just said is so pertinent, which is it's easier to speak in red brain. It's easier to default to that. And the reason is we assume every business owner watching this right now, or every salesperson or marketer, obsesses so much about the product or service that they're trying to get in front of people that we assume, I tell you about the product, the prospect is going to be able to extrapolate that to the problems it solves and the goals or the outcomes it helps them achieve. And they can't, and they don't. And even if they could, they still probably wouldn't, because they're busy and they're not thinking about you as much as you are. You know what I mean?
100%.
And so we forget. And so it's that whole, you know, I went into a tech business recently, hugely successful business. Sometimes companies come along and they offer me a lot of money to come in and build their sales process from the ground up, which often I'm reluctant to do, but sometimes I agree. In this instance, I agreed. The product that this tech company has is the best product in the world. They're based out of Australia, but they've got the best product in the world, endorsed by like Satya from Microsoft and all sorts of huge names from around the world. And the problem that we're talking about is more prolific in any business that's technically leaning, because you've got a technical founder with a technical team, and all they, what consumes most of their mind is the technicalities of the product or the service. Accountants are also notoriously bad at what we're talking about. Lawyers are also notoriously bad at what we're talking about. Why? Because they live in a red brain world, and that's what they're brilliant at. That's what their gift is. And they build incredible products doing it. But then when it comes to taking it to the world, if we can humanize it and we can go, okay, that's great about all of that technical jargon and all of that. Do you understand your prospect understands nothing that you just said to me? Yep. Okay, cool. So now let's put it in human language so that we can bridge it from your heart and your business into the heart of the prospect.
I know you're a huge proponent of going deeper into understanding consumer psychology as a skill set to help you navigate this. And oftentimes for someone that doesn't have like, say, engineering background, doctor, accountant, like those hard skills. It's almost like, oh yeah, I can have my little plaque and I know that I'm good at that skill set. And it's almost like the consumer psychology or understanding human psychology is almost in itself very harder to be tangible about, that I often forget that it's a learned skill. It's something that you can develop, and its application makes positive ripples in the business like crazy. And I'd be curious to know about your approach on how you study that and what are things that people could do to get better in that and why it's so important to get better at that.
Dude, that's such a big point, and it's such a good point. Warren Buffett said this. He said the most valuable course he ever took, and this is Warren Buffett, right? One of the most successful investors that has ever lived. One of the most valuable courses he ever took was How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, because it taught him how to communicate, you know, and he's an investment guy, and that's the most powerful course that he's ever taken. And so the point that you just raised, Jace, is such a good one, because the thing that prevents people from becoming better at understanding psychology, better at communication, which all marketing and sales is communication, the thing that prevents them from doing that is we have this kind of misconception in our culture that sales is like the black magic. It's the gift of the gab. You've either got it or you don't. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Give me a trained communicator any day of the week over gift of the gab guy, because gift of the gab guy or girl is going to be up 1 month, down the next month, up 1 month, and you never know why, and you never know how, and you never know what you're going to get. People like you and I who speak on the biggest stages in the world, like, you know, I do some form of presenting, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a training, whether it's a coaching session, whether it's a big stage, probably every day. And I could not do that anywhere nearly consistent if it was relying on flow and being in the mood. I'm a trained communicator. I'm a trained communicator because from the age of 6, I've been reading books on psychology, neuro-linguistic programming, cognitive behavioral therapy. You know, my mum was NLP trainer. I was listening to, this is going to date us, Jace, 1 Minute Manager cassettes back when, you know, I would have been like early teens. 1 Minute Manager, I think it was Ken Blanchard from memory, but the literal cassette that you put in and press play. And I think I've probably always been someone that's had a deep empathy for other human beings, but I have literally been training my understanding of myself and other human beings and how to bridge that gap through effective communication for over 30 years at this point. And anybody who's watching or listening to this podcast, the more technical expertise you have, the more you will benefit from understanding and learning more about human psychology and communication.
I have to point on one thing that I feel like you'll be able to prevent anybody from falling into this potential pitfall of going into that direction is, you know, I've mentioned that I have a lot of episodes on this show. There's a lot of things we share around, you know, accepting sales, tips on sales, listening to this. You've shared a lot of stuff. And there is a part of, and I'll use me, there's a part of me that can not absorb all this information. And it's like, it almost feels more comfortable just to absorb a little more information than actually go do the things that will move the needle. And I'd be curious to know, what are some of the methods you manage between taking in this information as opposed to applying the information?
Yeah, that's a very good question. The thing is that taking in more of information is kind of fun, and it gives you a high and it gives you a buzz and you feel like you're progressing. And so there's all these emotional rewards for learning to such an extent where when most people today engage in education, they're really just engaging in entertainment and feeling good about it, right? Whereas let's talk about implementation for a second. Like if you are somebody like I was and like you were, Jace, where, you know, you're having overly red brain conversations and now we want to think about, okay, how do we inject more green brain into our conversation? Can you imagine that first conversation that you're going to have testing out green brain? In fact, I will give you an example of this. I was 19 years of age. I was going through a sales training with a particular company and they wanted me to ask a question. The question was, how do you feel about that? And I was so used to not speaking in feeling language that when it came to ask somebody that question, literally the words almost didn't come out of my mouth, right? I remember like by opening my mouth, but the words not coming out. It was that foreign to me to speak like that. I had learned a lot of psychology stuff. I'd learned a lot of personal development stuff, management stuff, but I hadn't yet integrated it into my linguistics yet. And so imagine that you're trying out having more of a green brain conversation for the first time, and contrast what I'm about to say against all those euphoric feelings of learning that we just spoke about. In this first green brain conversation, what are you feeling? You're feeling awkward. you're probably feeling inadequate. You're probably feeling silly. You're probably thinking to yourself, how the hell have I not done this by now? I should be further along. Implementation is so uncomfortable, and trying things for the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time is so uncomfortable that it takes a real presence to be able to go, okay, I want to implement this because I want to become the kind of person that can do this stuff. And I recognize and I accept that the first 5, 10, 20 times that I do this, I'm going to feel uncomfortable, I'm going to feel awkward, I'm going to feel inadequate, and I'm committed to doing it anyway. But I think that's why, to come back to your question, Jace, is learning more feeds the high. And then when it comes to, okay, let's start doing now, it's the opposite. It's really confronting. However, to know and not do is to not yet know. And all of your gains in life, all of your gains in business do not come from your intentions or how much knowledge you have. It all comes from what you do. And so intentions should drive action, knowledge should drive action, but any of the internal software stuff that doesn't translate to external action is not going to change your external reality. It's not going to change your results in life. And so all of the results come from, dare I say it, doing the hard things.
Surprise, right?
Yeah. Damn it.
Damn it. And God, every time I've had these moments where I'd have to make that kind of, like, I just feel stupid, man. Message of the day, embrace the stupid in you.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally. Dude, I spoke about that tech business that I went into before. Like, I'm not a technical person in any way, shape, or form. And this is the thing, is we all have places where we skew, where we have natural strengths. And, you know, the areas that we're talking about are probably your, my natural strengths. But when it comes to tech stuff and like the more red brain stuff, I'm illiterate with that kind of stuff, right? And so I think this is the other thing that's really important for people to understand and is quite cathartic when I kind of remind myself of it, is we are all bad at a lot more than what we are good at. And so just recognizing that, it sort of gives you permission to suck at something for a little while you get the reps in to become better.
Yeah. I'll confess a problem of mine, Jack, which is I'm all right at a lot of stuff. I'm all right. Like, can I put together a landing page? Yeah, I'm all right. Can I draft together an email? Yeah, I'm all right. Can I go out
you're
and
an
set up some? Wait, what was that?
I said you're an entrepreneur. Generally speaking, how entrepreneurs are, right, is we're kind of generalists.
Yeah. But it gets me into trouble because sometimes like I get really excited about something that I should really not be doing. And I'm working with a team and like there's a part of me that gets to that emotional, call it, maybe this is the green brain, or I'm probably using this incorrectly, but there's times like, for example, I'm so tired of this damn software that's like not giving me what I need or implementing. So I'm like, I'm going to go find, ooh, new software. Let's start up a trial account. Oh, I can probably build something together. Let me, oh my God. Like 4 hours went down the drain. And I have a tech person that her job is to find the platform. And I just got swung away. And that's like kind of a bit of the shiny syndrome stuff. But is that like, it's almost like, do I have permission to be like that? But it's not what I want. Rather, if you're finding that draw as an entrepreneur, what are some of the guardrails we should have in place so that we're not wasting time?
Dude, this is a brilliant question. I was having this training with my team a few days ago on pretty much exactly this, which is to say this. Anything doing in life will often involve doing hard things. And the reason most people don't achieve their goals is because most people live their life avoiding hard, right? And the reason for that is when the mind comes up against something that's hard, and or, by the way, when the mind is fatigued, right? As human beings, we're in a constant battle with fatigue. And this isn't spoken about enough, but it's either I'm coming up against something hard or I'm fatigued, or I'm coming up against something hard and I'm fatigued, which just doubles the problem. When the human mind comes up against something that's hard or if it's fatigued, what the human mind seeks to do is retreat and almost disprove wherever it is you thought you were going. It's like, oh, that's not going to work, because it gives us permission to retreat back into what's familiar and what's comfortable. And so I think just this realization that doing hard things is important. We need to lean into hard, and that's what prevents most people from achieving their goals. And when I do, I know for a fact that my mind, because I'm a human with a head, is going to seek retreat, is going to try and prove the new way wrong, is going to develop really convincing stories for why I should quit, is going to give me really convincing stories for why I should go and chase something else that's new and shiny and easier, right? I'm looking for off-ramps, as opposed to just sticking with the main endeavor. And so what I found in my own life and my team have found is just having that realization and being able to anticipate that your mind is going to do that, then when it happens, you're able to not indulge it, but you're able to go, oh, okay, that's that thing again. I'm doing something hard. I'm looking for a retreat. That's completely normal. And you just keep going because you understand the game.
Mm. Man, yeah, no, this is it. This is it. And honestly, like there's such a comfort in going into doing that seeking because it's just like the learning part. It's just you get to have the high without the do. And yeah, so
exactly.
And then you do, but it's not really doing because most of those projects that I'll go on a side tangent, like I don't even end up deploying them. I'll get to learn a little something, which can help, but it's definitely not the one thing as we talked about going back to the fundamentals, which kind of brings this conversation full circles because we started talking about the customer journey. That is the fundamental thing that you can start working on and just paying attention to that. Like if you're walking away from this conversation with an action to take, like go look at that customer journey. It is the most boring thing to look at, but has the most gold that's being left there. And Jack, I think, pointed at a lot of the leverage points you can look at, whether that's the marketing piece and particularly the sales piece. And there's so much that we can do to see that improvement go up significantly. And I love what we talked about, that whole masterclass you did talking about the red brain and the green brain and realizing that we will default to the red. Our customers default to the red. Red is stop. And if we want to go into the green, we have to consciously choose it, pay attention to it, and find it inside the customer journey. And we can unlock revenue potential across the board. And just the exercise you gave in e-commerce, God, I could give you some examples because I worked in the e-commerce department of the enterprise. And there were so many assumptions that people care so much about everything you do that they should figure it out themselves. They're all points of resistance and it's affecting. And so, God, I love the chat we have. I wanted to keep going, but I am on a little bit of a time, so I'm going to leave people wanting more. And I'm going to ask you one more question, Jack, which is you're on the Selling with Love podcast. So I have to ask you, what does selling with love mean to you?
What I obsess about is how does the human brain make decisions? And so, you know, I think in previous generations, we spoke a lot about the golden rule, treat people as you would like to be treated. I operate by the platinum rule, treat others how they would like to be treated. How do I give this person information in the sequence and in the nature that their brain wants to receive it so they can make better, faster decisions? And particularly if you have a product or service that you know improves people's lives, then you have a moral obligation to get out of your own way and stop letting ego affect the conversations that you're having or how you're showing up in the world to actually start training yourself in communication and sales so that you can better serve.
Jack, I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show. For those who are thirsty for more, there's so much content and things that you can explore, masterclasses on Jack's website. We're going to put a link to the Entourage. Please go dive in. There's so much to offer there and ways that you can participate, get mentored, and so much more. Of course, I've made a mention and we want to remind you that Unprofessional and Unwritten Bestsellers by Jack goes deeper into these concepts. We've touched a sliver of the wisdom that he shares deliberately on a lot of platforms for both free and paid services. And it was such an honor to reconnect with you, Jack. It's been a while. We need to stay in touch. Be sure to come visit when you come down to Bali, all right?
I absolutely will. Vice versa, brother. Thank you so much for having me.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.